Yudches Midas Chassidus, new topic, and a new midah to focus on, building on Precious and Tara that we've been discussing the last couple of weeks. Midas Chassidus Shrichi Be'emes Lebir Gadol. This is a midah that needs a lot of explanation and elaboration. Kibin Hagim Rabim Drachim Rabim Overim Bein Rabim Bibni Adam Shem Chassidus Ve'enam El Golmi Chassidus. There's a lot of different things that people like to call Chassidus, Chassidut, and he says in reality they don't really qualify for what the Torah calls Chassidus. They're rather the Golmi Chassidus, like a golem, meaning they share a form or an image, but they may be missing some of the underpinnings or the inner workings that give the substance. B'Torah, B'Tzura, B'Tzigun. What people describe as Chassidus is still missing out on its full form, and it's somewhat amorphous and needs more fine-tuning. He says that's always going to be the result of a lack of examination and true intellectual apprehension of what we are striving for. Because they haven't worked appropriately, they haven't worked sufficiently to really know Hashem in the way, with the clarity, and with the focus that is necessary. Rather, they're working off of their initial impressions, right? So, same way that a person, you know, could go to Eretz Yisrael, and they could get very enthusiastic about Yiddishkeit and very turned on, but if they don't have the proper guidance where and how to channel that energy and that enthusiasm, you could end up creating not a monster, but you could create someone who is misguided. That's it, because they're lacking that hadracha. They're investing their time and their efforts to what is not, you know, what resembles higher levels of their Yiddishkeit, but at the same time, maybe missing, you know, the building blocks. The building, that's the key. You know, you can't sustain a building if the foundation isn't strong. And that's what the Mesillas Yesharim is pointing out. He said we need to go back to the basics in order to strengthen the foundation. The way that they're behaving is lacking depth because they have not weighed with the scales of wisdom what they're choosing to do. So he says the problem is something which is more far-reaching. There's a personal chisaron. There's a lacking that person is experiencing because in their own avodas Hashem, they have not achieved that focus. But he says it goes beyond that because there's a societal impact. If a person parades around, again, not in an ostentatious way, not trying to disguise himself as something that he's not, but if he's just behaving that way because that's his own misunderstanding, so then the way people perceive him and what he represents, the movement he represents, or the behavior that he represents, people perceive that as something which looks silly or negative, and the entire movement becomes something that people ridicule, even if they see others who label themselves in the same way but are doing the right thing. We've already tarnished that reputation, so to speak. He says if people walk around assuming and behaving in a way that Chassidus is painted as a portrait of things which are again superficial, things that are negra sechel, counterintuitive, doing things that are counterintuitive, and anyone with a sharp mind would think is insubstantial. Right, so what that develops is an impression that Chassidus is all just about saying Tehillim all day, saying Vidui all day, crying, bowing, Sigufim Hazarim, afflicting oneself in a way which is painful and damaging. And he gives an example. He says like toiveling in snow. Okay, if the only association you have of Chassidus, and again, we're not talking about the Baal Shem Tov. This is before the Baal Shem Tov, you know, made his mark in the world, but the Chassidus that he's describing, Chazal's definition of Chassidus, so there are people who would behave in a similar fashion, claim that was Chassidus, or their own misunderstanding that that's Chassidus, and the result would be that people would not have an accurate understanding of what we're talking about. So he acknowledges it's true. There are some of these things that, to the proper extent, are necessary for a Baal Teshuva. Some of them are appropriate for someone who's on a level of precious. But that's not what it's built upon. I mean, these may be the trappings, the tachsisim, like we saw yesterday in the Ran, of someone who has reached a high level, but that's not what it's built upon. That's not... That's not where you start your journey. Listen to how he says. He says in a very poignant way. He says there's some things which are appropriate to attach to chassidus. They're accessories to chassidus. They belong with a chassid, but they don't define chassidus. Right? There's a difference between something which is definitional. Chassidus means X. As opposed to, no, chassidus means Y, but you may be doing X as part of the appropriate path that you take. Okay? And when you blur the lines, so either you're jumping the gun for something you're not ready for, or you're misrepresenting what your movement or what your striving, what you're looking for actually should look like. So he says the reason why all these behaviors don't really get to the heart of chassidus, even if they're the trappings of chassidus, is because chassidus is really something which is built on chachma rabba v'tikun hamaisa v'tachlis, absolute precision in correcting and in honing one's actions, and a great degree of wisdom. Right, this is something which a person can't expect to pick up after Shana Aleph. This is something which can take years and years of real internalization of the milo that they're reaching for. Lo am arz chassid. It's a mission in Perkei Avos, right? Lo am arz chassid. What does that mean? It means if you don't really know anything, right? So the expectations of how high you can climb are going to be limited. So you have to have reasonable goals for what you're capable of achieving at this point. And not being someone who you aren't, okay? Obviously, there's a sense of honesty, intellectual integrity in being who you are, but you're also representing that aspect of Avodas Hashem that needs to be portrayed in the correct light. So now we're going to try to get to the bottom. What exactly this means? What is Chassidus? Asher Adam Shamal B'Torah Osa Nachas Ruch Liotzra. Encapsulates it, one line, and Gemara and Brachas Daf Yud Zayin. Praiseworthy is someone, Asha'amol B'Torah, their work, the effort that they invest is in Torah. Number one. Number two, Osa Nachas Ruach Liotzro. And he brings pleasure, Nachas Ruach, to his creator. Okay, so that's a very simplistic definition. Sounds like generic. Sounds like any one of us could have come up with it. So we still have to analyze. Okay? But Amol B'Torah, Amol B'Torah, number one, that's where I put my strength, number one. And number two is bringing Nachas Ruach to Hashem. All right, so it's going to take a little while to elaborate this. All right, we still have a parak here. In Inuki and Amitzvah, someone tells Alko Yisrael Kfar Yiduah, saying everyone knows the mitzvos. You can open up Sefer Chinuch, you can read a list of 613 mitzvos in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos. You know what the mitzvos are. Chavasim Yidu Ad Heichan Himagas. And you have an appreciation of how great is the obligation that rests upon every Jew to fulfill those mitzvahs. That's something which anyone can grasp. A person who, and it's almost like on a parak basis, he brings in again the level of Ava. Ava is a higher level than Yira. So Ava drives a person to try harder than simply to check off his boxes and exempt himself from the known and familiar obligations that every Jew adopts. This is one of the most famous lines in the entire Mesillas Yesharim. Rather, what he's going to be reaching for, Kemosh Yikra El Ben Oev Aviv, the way a son loves a father. And we gave a little background yesterday what that means to appreciate a father and looking at Hashem as a father. She'ilu yagal aviv ezdaito gilim ma'ashu chafis b'davar minat dvarim, for yar b'haben b'davar ahu u'b'maisahu komashu yucha. If your father reveals what it is that he wants, what it is that he expects, so then the son is going to do that as much as possible. He's going to expand upon it. He's going to go further. Once he knows what it is that his father desires, he's going to give it everything he's got. Kol mashiyucha, everything he's able to do. Av bishlo amru avivel pam achas uchatzidivor. Even if his father said it once, he's going to try to reinforce it on a consistent basis. Even if his father just said it in simple terms, very briefly, he's going to think, okay, what is he really getting at? What's the full meaning of what he's asking me for? I say now, when I'm talking to chevra like this, we just have to separate this from as a kid. So what does your father ask of you? Study, do your homework, take out the garbage, go to shul, things like that are very narrow chores almost for a kid. So association that children have with their ratzon of their parents remains in a superficial way, and it's harder to tap into what the Mesillas Yesharim is saying. You have to strive a little bit further to pull out the full meaning. So example, let's take the last example. Go to shul. Your father wants you to robotically stand up, get out of bed, get dressed, walk down the block, and show up to the minyan. It's more than that. He wants you to habituate yourself, to create a routine for yourself that even when it's a day off, right? This is what he's telling the 12-year-old. Even when it's a day off, you're going to be where you're supposed to be, and you're going to start your day like a Jew starts his day, right? That is all encapsulated, and probably a lot more, into half a sentence, get up and go to shul, right? There's so much more there. There's an expectation. It's more than an expectation. It's your father. There's a hope and a dream that his son is going to be a living, walking, breathing continuation of the Masorah that he and his father and his father and back and forth, further and further back to Moshe Rabbeinu, right, that we're all marching on through history until Mashiach comes, right? It's so much more packed into that get out of bed and go to shul than someone who's just listening on the surface is able to hear. You know what I'm saying? So it's sort of like, if he asks you to get him a drink, okay, and you should run. Rabosai, I told you so many times I'm jealous of you. You see your parents much more often than I do, probably. And every time you have a chance, Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, what is kavod? One example, machileo, mashkeo, give him something to eat, give him something to drink. Malbisho, when he's leaving, give him his coat. For him to wear, so many simple actions when when you see your father every day, when you're home, you're going home tonight, tomorrow, can I get you a drink, right? If he's sitting at the table and starting his meal, say, Dad, can I pass you the water? Like run to it. It's like, Arichas Yamim, I'm jealous of you guys. Mom, I'm jealous of you. Push it.
What if you trip?
So, when your father does ask you for something, so use your brain and use your heart, right? You can pass him the drink and you can hear Dad, right? Put it down in front of him. Or you can actually take his cup. You can pour it, do it for him, get him some ice, right? When he's finished, say, oh, Dad, can I get you some more, right? What are we doing? We're going from a few words of, can you pass the water to what does he really want? How much further can I take this to fully complete the ratzon that may have only been revealed in a limited fashion? A son, if he thinks about it, knows what his father wants on the small things, on the big things, right? And he can do that even if it isn't asked of him explicitly. Father tells you, get up and go to shul. How much nachas will he have if you're there 5 minutes before davening starts? Then if your definition of get up and go to shul is, you know, rolling at yishtabach, you know, putting your tefillin on, so then maybe you'll be ready for aleinu. You know, like that. That's what is he really saying? Okay, I'm not applying these examples to you. But I'm saying, as a kid, for a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, you know, it's just like we're more mature than that. But we appreciate what it means to be in a situation like that where we're asked something, and it's our duty to look much more closely. Okay, if your father says, "Be careful, don't trip," right? So he's not saying like you're clumsy, you're being a klutz. You know, that's not what he's saying. He's saying to be a mature individual, walk thoughtfully, okay, and put on your shoes. You know, clean the floor so there aren't things to, you know, that you're gonna trip on. Okay, like, you know, there's more to the words than meets the eye. Same thing when we talk about the Ribono Shel Olam. Once you can determine, once you know on your own that this is something that's going to bring nachas ruach to the father, you're not going to wait for him to say it to you, right? Oh, this is so classic. You're not going to wait for him to tell you exactly, "Dad, I brought out the garbage." Yeah, but the garbage men are coming in an hour. Bring it down to the curb. You just told me to bring out the garbage, so like I opened the door, dropped it there, and closed it. No, that's not what I meant. You know what I meant. Do what it is you're asked to do. What you're really being asked to do, because you know that's what you're being asked to do. Same is true with your wife. Don't just do, you know, fulfilling the exact words, but understand what the ratzon is. Understand what the ratzon is. Your wife will expect you to read her mind. I'm telling you right now. Your wife will expect you to read her mind. Does it mean you can? No.
Doesn't make it
hopefully
fair.
She has a good college. It's not fair. It's not about fair. Hopefully she has a good college teacher who will remind her that her husband can't read her mind. But it doesn't matter. That's not your business. That's a college teacher's issue. Okay? You need to be prepared to expect someone who will expect you to read her mind. So can you do that on day one? No. Over time, can you work at it? You can get a lot better at it. But only someone who's not lazy and who actually cares about his spouse is going to work at it and get better. And, like we said in the last chapter, to think about what you do or you say before you do it or you say it. Because that's all the difference. Because how many times do we say something or do something, wish I didn't say that, wish I didn't do that, 30 seconds later, or 10, or 3 seconds later. If you would have made those 3 seconds before you said it, instead of the 3 seconds after you said it, you would have got it right. So it's not about fair, it's about what I should be striving to achieve. And it is in your reach. Bottom line, we'll stop with this. What Mr. Sharm is saying is when it comes to a relationship where there's true ava and friendship and closeness between one person and the other, there never will be that reaction of, "Well, that's all I was asked to do." It's enough that I fulfilled what I was asked to do explicitly, but it's going to be with an understanding, with a knowledge of what that person wants, and you're going to do it because nachas ruach. I just have to add one thing. You don't have a sitter, please? Thank you. I think this line, Sosa Charm, opens up something which I was on my mind recently, but I'm not sure I ever really chapted in the Mesil Sisharim. There's a story. I'll tell you two words. The story goes with the Or Sameach, the Meir Simcha. He was once learning with a Chavrusa.
About the yeshiva.
And they got stuck. They couldn't understand the pshat, and they were going back and forth and fighting over and breaking their heads, and they couldn't get the pshat. So Meir Simcha said, "Let's stop. Stop for a second. Let's work on our Avas Hashem. Work on our Avas Hashem." Now, what that means, okay, I don't think we have time to talk about that right now, but that's what he said. And whatever it is he did, he did. And then they returned to the Suya, and they got the pshat. And I asked him, what does that mean? What happened? What does one thing have to do with the other? So he explained, if you look in the bracha we say before Kriya Shema, every morning, so we precede a few crucial words. V'hoyer einenu b'sar asecha. Open up our eyes, illuminate our eyes in your Torah to understand your Torah. Your Torah is the Ratzon Hashem. It's the way that Hashem communicates to us, right? What precedes that immediately? Sein b'libeinu lahavin lahaskil, to understand, to intuit, to hear, to learn, to teach, to observe, to do, to fulfill. Eskol divrei salma torasecha. Yahavan. What are the next words? Behorini. In other words, avas Hashem. Avas Hashem is what opens the door to v'hoyer einin b'sarsacha. So Dr. Yaakov Kamenetsky, this is a word from Toronto. I think he said this in Toronto. So let's say you go you see a woman who recently gave birth. Yeah, a young baby. Baby's crying all the time. Right? Babies cry because they want the diaper change. Babies cry when they're tired. Babies cry when they're hungry. Right? You know, they cry for all different reasons. And you'll see, as a father, the crying of babies is much more difficult a language than Hebrew 1205 or whatever. Okay, you know, like it takes a lot more skill and experience to read the thought. But a mother can do it. A mother can do it. A mother can do it better than the babysitter can do it. Better than the nurse in the hospital can do it. Mother has a certain sense. What's the pshat? Because there's an ava. There's such a bond. There's such a connection. The maternal instinct towards her child, towards her baby, is something which is built on ava. Pasha, right? So the more that you love someone, the more that you know what they're thinking. And even if they're not communicating it to you, because the baby can't communicate to you, all the baby knows how to do is make noise. But v'hoyer einenu, the love that exists will open up that channel, even of communication, to intuit what the other one is saying. The Ava, Rameir Simple was saying, the more that you love the Rabbanu Shalom, and that takes work. It takes work to develop that. We spoke a little bit about what Ava Hashem means, right? We spoke about Avram Avinu, spoke about the Chavetz Chaim, and every time we say, V'aftik Hashem Akach, B'chol Avav, B'chol Avav, B'chol Avav, B'chol Avav, B'chol Avav, B'chol Avav, says in Shema. But the Ava, when it's generated and when it's strong, allows me to know what Hashem is thinking even when he hasn't said. Because he doesn't speak to me directly. We're still not Nevi'im. But we can intuit what he's saying beyond the simple words that we are told, in the same way that the baby, the mother knows what the baby's thinking, even though she only has the cries and the tears that the baby is letting out. That's the Ava. So that's what I think he's saying. That the more that the Ava exists between a husband and wife, a father and son, it's impossible for it to just be, well, that's all you told me to do. What do you mean that's all you told me to do? So next time, when your wife says to you, I feel like you don't love me. What do you mean? Of course I love. This is what she means. She means Remeir Simcha. If you say, what do you mean? She's going to say, don't you know the story of the Meshech Chachma? Didn't you ever hear of Yaakov Kamenetsky? Didn't you ever say, V'hoi reinina b'sora second morning? I say it. That's what she's saying to you. Not that you don't know how to buy flowers for her anniversary, right? That's, forget that. That those things are nice, but that's like, it's like Mr. Hashem said before. There's certain things that go along with chassidus, but they aren't chassidus. Buying flowers, buying chocolate, they go along with a loving relationship, but they aren't the substance of a loving relationship. You hear? You know what it is? Being able to read someone else's mind, in again with reasonable expectations, but how do you? I'm going to finish with this. How do you even start to have a halavim to read someone's mind? Not by waiting for the telepathic messages to hit my head, but by expressing the love, by wanting that. If you love the person, you want to know what they're thinking, and you will put in the effort to figure it out. You hear the difference? Mm-hmm. If someone says, you know, how come you didn't know what I was thinking? You can't expect it. But you can expect it of someone who makes it their goal to connect with you. Then you expect them to read between the lines and beneath the surface of the words. And that's Ba'ava, the immediate following terms, immediate following prayers are V'hoyer einenu b'sora secha.